This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Up to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul wrote stacks of the letters to different churches in our New Testament. And sometimes he had a rebuke for a church. Sometimes he had some encouragement. In Thessalonians. That sounds like a good luck. 2 Thessalonians. He sees something in this church that he thanks God for. He sees three things. And I believe he sees the church in Thessalonica as a church that is a maturing church, a church that's maturing. Today, as we have a look at what Paul says here and delve into this, my aim today, my goal is to have us be thankful for what he's doing in us, to put ourselves in his hands that he can bring us more and more into a place of usefulness for him and a place where we're surrendered for him to be at work in us, for him to grow and mature each one of us, us as a church and us individually. So in the book I mentioned before... In chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly." Another translation that says, you know, beyond measure. And so faith growing exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution. Oh, man. Does anyone want to take over? And tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. So here we see three things that Paul says, you know what, we just can't help but thank God for these things we see in you. One, growing more and more. And for Paul, who, you know, would visit different churches and set up churches and visit them and write letters to them, I don't think he could say this to every church. He says to the church here, just thank God that your faith is growing and that the love that each of you have for one another abounds towards each other. You're loving each other. Your faith is growing. And he says you're being patient in the persecutions and tribulations that are coming your way. So Paul looks upon this church and says, well, this church is going great. What a maturing church. A church is growing up, growing in its love for him and its faith, growing this love for each other. And they're able to have a faith that's strong enough to endure anything that comes against it. Does that sound like a church you'd like to be a part of? That'd be fantastic. We're going to talk about just this notion of growing in the Lord and how growth is something that God wants in all of us. For us to think that we've arrived, for us to think that we've made it, and that, you know what, we're fine. We're chugging along just fine. You know, from now until Jesus comes back, I don't think I need to change anything. I reckon every part of my character is just spot on. What in effect does God really need to work on here? Yeah, my pride. So we need to know that when we come into God's family, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour and we are adopted into his family, the Bible says we're like a little baby. We're like a little baby and we've got some growing to do, because there's a lot of mindsets and attitudes and things in the world that we bring into our life, even our life in God's family, that God needs to work in us. We need to grow. You know, you just think about, I don't know, did you see in the news about the 30-year-old that was living at home, and the parent parents went to court to have him move out. Yeah. Sometimes in today's day and age, kids grow up, like they're babies, and they grow up to be kids and teenagers and then young adults, and they're still staying at home, and that can be okay for a while, you know, and parents might say, yeah, you can be with us as long as you need to, but there sort of comes a point where it's like the parents are more like, it's time for you to, come on, get out, it's time for you to get out. And why is that? Well, when someone gets into their adult years, if they're still living at home and they're under their parents, they've got all the privileges of being an adult, but they actually don't have the responsibility of that. So just think about in a spiritual sense. You know, as soon as we're born again, we have the privileges of being part of his family. And as we grow up in the Lord, those privileges don't change. But our responsibility and our level of obedience to him and our commitment to the Lord should be deepening and growing all the time. So we should, you know, just have a think about that. We have the privilege of being in his family, but there's responsibilities too that come with us just growing up. You know, I just think about just the hard work it is when when a baby's born, and you just think, how can you dictate my life so much? So much effort you got to put into them. When Melody was born, you sort of have an idea of what it's going to be like, but nothing prepares you for the amount of work it is to raise a child, and they need so much, and they grow, and when you see them develop and mature, it brings such joy to your heart. And as they grow up and as you're able to have more conversations with them and connect on different levels, oh, just a maturing in your children brings great joy. Hope you can say that, Mum, of me. Oh, great. But even though we grow up and, you know, we're growing up and we're teenagers, then we're adults and we get older still, that doesn't mean that what's going on inside is maturing at the same rate. And I think when God puts us in families and relationships, we tend to realize how immature we can still be and how much growth we haven't done in our life. I don't know about you, but even just being married, just realize how selfish I can still be and how much I make things all about myself. And you just think, oh, I'm just so ashamed. I feel like I should be, you know, more mature than this. Sometimes when people rub you up the wrong way and your response to them is, you know, isn't how it should be, you think, oh, I thought I was a bit beyond that. That was a bit childish. You know, there's growing that each of us need to do. That your faith, and God wants to bring that about in us. And the Bible has so much to say about it. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like a seed that's planted. And so even within his kingdom, it grows up into a tree. He says it's like a tree that when it's fully grown, birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. There's this notion that within the kingdom, there's growth. Within the kingdom, there's things that grow and grow to maturity. And that's what God wants to see in us. I'm going to ask a few people to turn to place in your Bible. I need six people. Can you just put your hand up if you're happy to read out some scripture? Tim, can you please turn to 1 Peter 2? 1 Peter 2. And can you read verses 2 and 3? Josh, can you please turn to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2? Elaine, can you turn to Philippians 1, verse 6? Need three more. I might actually go this way, because if I do there, this is what happened last time. Then I'm running it all, so you can be last, Sandy. All right, Denise, can you please, what was the last one? Philippians? Yep. Can you please turn to Colossians 2, and you can read, what is it? Just turn to Colossians 2 and we'll get to you. Was it Bev? Can you turn to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16? And Sandy, can you turn to 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9? 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9. All right, there's just a few scriptures here we're going to hear about just growth and how God wants us to grow and develop and how he wants that to come about.
What was that? 2 Peter 2, 2 to 3?
Yep.
All right. And many will follow...
1
Peter.
Yep.
Oh, Peter. They look very similar, Peter.
They do.
As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Mm. Josh. So Hebrews 6, 1 and 2.
Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment.
Great. So I said, I think the wording there, Josh, that you read was taken forward to maturity. God wants us to take us forward to maturity.
Okay. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
God started something in each of us and he's going to continue it. All right, let's see where we need to be here. I think it's 18 and 19. No. Let's see. Sorry, everyone. Written it down. It's 6. I think 6 and 7.
As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
So we're to be in God, rooted in him and built up. So planted and growing in him.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Thanks. There's heaps in that one. Wow, that God wants to, in his church, have each of us equipped to do what he wants to do in us, and that together, us being knit and joined together, God wants that growth to come as we look to... Thanks, Sandy. How far? Which one have you got again? Yep. Can you 5 to 9? No, 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9.
1, 5 to 9, okay. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins.
Thanks, Sandy. Isn't it interesting? As those things, faith and understanding and love, as they're increasing in us, it's going to keep us from being ineffective and unfruitful. So why does God want us to grow? Why is it? If you think about different characters in the Bible that have had their character developed and as they've matured and grown, it's because he's got a plan for you. God wants you to grow up in him and for you to come more and more into maturity because he's got a plan for you. Just think about someone like Joseph in the Bible, who was despised by his brothers and favored by his father, thrown into a pit and sold to Egypt. And he was in prison after being falsely accused forgotten about for 2 years. He was an interpreter of dreams. God had given him his own dreams that he would rule one day, that his family would come and bow down before him. And there he was, thrown by that very family the vision was about into a pit and despised by his brothers. Just think about the hardships that he was facing that seemed in direct contrast to what God had called him to do. And then when he went to Egypt, he was then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. And there he had two men that had these dreams that troubled them. And Joseph was able to interpret for them. Now, at this point, none of Joseph's dreams had come true. He could have had the attitude of, well, God, you haven't worried about my dreams. What's the point? But no, he was faithful. He was faithful wherever he went, whether he was in Potiphar's house, what he was put in charge of, whether he was in the prison and the things that he was able to have a hand in there. He remained faithful in those circumstances, in those hard times that God was working in him, growing him, to the point where he was then able to do great things and put in a plan from God that was able to save the whole known world. Amazing. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you, and we don't want to be ineffective and unfruitful by not allowing God to grow these things in our life. Think about someone like David. David is a shepherd boy who, when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, Jesse didn't even consider that David would be part of the picture because he's just the little shepherd boy. He doesn't even come to the meeting. Imagine that. Samuel just, did I hear right, God? Not this one, this one, this one. Not this one. Did I miss one of the... Was it the first one again? No, there must be someone else. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, Dave's out the back, you know, he's looking after the sheep. Bring him in, he's the one. And then you think about all the things that... when David faced Goliath, when he defeated a giant, that no one had defeated giants before that point. And as we read afterwards in Israel's history, that giant after giant was brought down. Wow. God defeats giants. Well, let's do it again. But think about what David said when he faced Goliath. He said when he was a shepherd and there was, you know, a lion or a bear came to steal one of his sheep, well, I went and grabbed it and I killed it. And so you, Goliath, are going to be like one of them. When David was just out the back looking after sheep in such a lowly position, he there developed the qualities he needed to do what God wanted him to do. He wasn't out there, you know, striving to be great. He just was faithfully protecting what God had given him. God was developing in him a shepherd's heart, a heart after God. And he then was able to become king. And even though David made mistakes and things went wrong in his family, he still was the benchmark for every king afterwards. They either walked in the ways of their father David or they didn't. And David, as a little shepherd boy, you know, whether he was, you know, writing some of his psalms there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It was in those times that God was building and growing him because God had a plan for him. Think about Moses. Moses who grew up in the courts of Egypt, but then was, he fled as he was had murdered the Egyptian and spent so many years in the desert, once again as a shepherd, you know, as God was needing to work in him a shepherd's heart to be able to look after his people. So Moses, who had come from such splendor and now just looking after some sheep just out in the wilderness, God had a plan for Moses and God had to have him in a place to be able to build and develop some character in his heart in him. And when that time came, Moses then was able to lead all of God's people out in such an amazing moment in history that out of Egypt, out of bondage for 400 years, through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. Amazing. So what do we need to do to him? Have God grow us, to mature us. Well, there's a few things. One is that we need to be okay with small things changing in our life. Sometimes we want growth right now. Right now. It's like if you plant a little seed. You know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk? How awesome's that? Like, he doesn't have to do anything. He just piffed it out and the next day, whoa, that doesn't happen in real life. That's a fairy tale. Growth takes time. And we need to acknowledge there's areas in our life where we are immature, where we are maybe ineffective, or maybe we are unfruitful. And for us to come before God and surrender to him, but know that when we put ourselves in the sunlight of his presence and have our roots down deep by that river, that growth is going to take time. We need to be patient with that. We need to be patient with each other, don't we? Because God's at work in all of us. And sometimes we can be so much focused on how much growth someone else should have in their life. Oh man, you drive me nuts. You need to grow up. Well, growth takes time. And maybe you need to grow up a little bit too. Also, we need to know that God brings the increase. It's not us as we strive to grow up. Imagine a little kid just working so hard to be older. But they don't have to do that. It just happens. You don't have a tree that's just, you know, working so hard. Oh, that tree's got to work hard to grow bigger and then to bear fruit. It doesn't have to. It's the conditions just need to be right. It needs to be planted. It needs to be watered and have that sunlight. In Psalm 1, it talks about a tree planted by rivers of water. Its roots are down and getting those nutrients. In Isaiah 61:11, it says this. Right. It says, "For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." So it's God that brings the increase. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 was talking to the Corinthian church, and he was saying to them, "Oh, there's all these divisions and factions amongst you. Some of you say, oh, Paul's the one that, you know, I follow, and others are saying, oh, Apollos, I sort of follow his teaching, and others, well, I follow Jesus." That's the best answer ever. You can't beat that one. He's saying, oh, stop it. One person waters, another one plants, and some people, but God brings the increase. Those that water, they're nothing. They're just providing something God's made, and God brings the increase. And we don't really know how it happens. Even in you know, botany, scientists still have questions about how nutrients are managed to flow all the way through. How does growth happen? How does it? There's just so much that we don't know, and it's because it's God that brings the increase. So we need to be resting in that fact, that as we bring ourselves before God, as we're rooted and grounded in him, he's going to do it. You can rest in that. We don't have to work hard and strive. We just know that God is going to bring the increase in our life. We think about John 15. John 15 is when Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches, and we're the branches that are connected into that vine. And all he says is this: abide in me. You'll bear fruit if you abide in me. God's going to bring growth in our life as we spend time in his presence, as we bring ourselves before him, as we make sure we're connected with him. We can grow by just being with him, by praying to him, by having that faith in him, knowing that God's going to bring about situations right where you are, in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood, that as you step out, that God's going to use you. And when we see prayers answered, when we see that something we've done that God has used, that grows our faith. That builds us up. And so we need to make sure that we're getting before the Lord. God, can you use me? Sorry. Another way that we can grow in our faith is by seeing those either that have gone before us or those around us who have a strong faith in the Lord. Hebrews 11 is all about people of faith in the Bible. And one person after another that had faith in God, heard him speak and followed and obeyed him. And in Hebrews 12, the writer in Hebrews, says the following. Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he started it and he's going to finish it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have those before us that have, who have shown great faith. We read of Abraham and of Noah and of Joseph and Jacob and Isaac, of Gideon and Samson, David and Samuel and the prophets. Hebrews 11 is just full of people who are just living out their faith, and that inspires us to grow. And just to finish off, I want to have a look at 1 Corinthians. Can you turn to 1 Corinthians 13? And having a look at verse 11. I always thought that this verse here was just sort of a bit of an odd one out in this, you know, in verse chapter 13 we hear all about, you know, love, and love's patient and kind, and Paul goes through a list of all the things that love is, and we know that so well. Maybe it was read at your wedding. It was read at our wedding. And then it comes to verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So have a think about a child, a young child. And Paul says here that, you know, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. Another translation says, I reasoned like a child, but then when I became a man, I put away childish things. So let's think, what does a kid say? When he says, I spoke as a child, what do children say that show that they're childish? Let's just have a few. Well, what was that, Jenny? I want, what was another one? You started it. Yeah. It's not fair. It's not my fault. No. Keep them coming. Why? 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 Are we there yet? Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah, just come straight out. You're mean. Yeah. I'm telling. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I did 3 years as a grade two teacher. That was like the thing I heard the most. I'm dobbing on you. I'm telling. Yeah. What else do kids say? We can have a few more. You've heard that, have you? Nice. Sorry, Anne. My turn. Yeah. This is mine. It is. Yeah, it is. Sometimes I love you. Do I have to? Yeah. How about, and it's probably all linked to how a kid speaks, but what about kids' thoughts, their reasoning, their logic? What is it in a child's logic that's different to an adult's logic? It's all about them. It's immediate. Yep. Yeah, there's no filter. It'd be nice if there was, but there's not. No frame of reference. Yeah, the context. I remember one time Mum didn't let me do something or other. Oh, and it just bothered me so much. She was drying her hair. And I just went in there, "Mum, I hate you," and walked out. You probably don't even remember it. I think it was something to do with cereal. I think something with my breakfast. But here's my mum with all her plans for the day. Here she is with wanting the best for me. But me, in my little moment, in my world, I wasn't allowed to have this. I hate you. Sorry, Mum. I just apologise just now on behalf of these witnesses. Will you please forgive me? Oh, you didn't hear me because of the hairdryer. I didn't say anything. I didn't say it. Oh, man. That's right. Oh, no. That's great. Wow. So isn't it amazing just to think about these childish notions, not having a frame of reference, not having a context of something, no filter before we say something, just thinking all about yourself. Mine, it's not fair. I want it now. As adults, have we put away those childish things? Because you know what? We're really good at pretending that we have, aren't we? We're fantastic at pretending. And it'd probably be really scary if we weren't good at pretending. Like if we hadn't developed that filter and did just speak what we want. Ooh. But what's going on in that hidden place in our heart, in our mind, with our logic, in our what we say, in our thoughts? God wants to bring us to maturity. How can he use someone that's there? It's not fair. I want this. I want it now. God's not going to be able to trust us with what he wants us to do. We're not going to be in a place where we're open for that. Man, I'm just being really confronted with myself about just ways I think and things that I say. And God, just change me. Just may I just submit myself to you and have you work in me and just help me grow up. Help me to be able to relate one to another. May my faith grow in you. Let me just pray. God, we want to be a mature church. Lord, we want to be mature people before you so that, Lord, we can be fruitful and effective for what you want us to do. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan for every one of us, each person in this room. You love and have a plan. And God, sometimes we can't really say, as Paul did, that we put away childish things. Because the way we think and what we say just shows the state of our heart. And we do need to grow up, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in us. Help us to abide in you, that our growth can come from us being connected to you, Lord. That fruitfulness in our life, Lord, and us being a vessel that you can use, Lord, that would come as we surrender and submit to you. So, God, I just do that right now, Lord, and we do that now, God. We just surrender to you. Lord, that you'd be at work in us, mature us, Lord. God, that we would be patient with the work you're doing in us. Lord, that we'd be patient with the work you're doing in our brothers and sisters. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be a maturing, growing church, Lord God, with our hearts fixed on you. Lord, we thank you for what you have in store for each of us. Thank you for what you want to use us for, even today. And Lord, may our heart and our life be in a place that you can use us, God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for what you're doing in us and in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.